welcome once again into the JMAC podcast. So glad that you are with us today, as I want to introduce you to yet another discovery when it comes to COVID-19. As we answer the question, could you get COVID-19 and have the symptoms and the illness for not days, not weeks, but months? There's something now being called long COVID, and you could experience all of the symptoms and the sickness for as long as 18 months. So I want to tell you about that. Also, how is the pandemic affecting children in other ways? And could it also mean that you lose your hair? So lots coming up about COVID and the most recent updates and things that we're learning. Before we dive into that, just a quick reminder to please take a minute and become a patron to our podcast. Several of you have signed up in the past few days, and I'll give you a shout out in the next podcast. Thank you for that. The commitment of $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month is really going to help me continue to bring this information to you every single day. And I know we've been spending a lot of time on COVID-19, but this really is the issue that is shutting down our society and keeping everything from opening up again. So in my mind, it's one of the most important things that we could be talking about. So I'm going to continue to bring you updates on COVID-19, but I have been working on some other things for you as well. I don't know if you remember JMAC science class from my time on KSL News Radio. I'm a nut for science, I'm a nut for technology, and so I continue to read and watch these stories that come out in the world of science. And so I will, on this podcast very soon, hopefully by the end of the week, be rolling out the very first JMAC science class. And we may even, I mean, you remember Jay's Gems if you listen to the JMAC news show, or a show called The Browsers that we used to do on KSL News Radio. There might even be a demand for that. I'm not sure yet. I'm still researching, but again, your monthly donation is going to help me bring more and more content in your direction. That is the goal. So click on the link in the description of this podcast, or go to our social media and you'll find a way to make a monthly donation and to become a patron of this program. So let's get into some of the latest stories about COVID-19 and something that is being called long COVID. Now, I don't know about you, but I had not heard this description before. I've heard of people getting COVID and having no symptoms. I've heard of people getting COVID and experiencing symptoms for a few days, and then others who get it and experience symptoms for a few weeks, sometimes maybe as much as a month or 6 weeks. Well, now we're hearing about something called long COVID, and I want you to hear the experience of a woman who has been suffering from COVID for month after month after month, and how it is affecting her and affecting her children. And then listen to a researcher talking about this thing that I guess we're now calling long COVID.
I can't really do anything. Like, I have three children. They're 7, 5, and 2. And we'd spend our life like out, whether it just be at the park or National Trust or seeing friends or by the river. We're in Walton-on-Thames, so lots is by the river. And it's like any amount of walking it's just not, like, none of it's doable. Like, I went from feeling like the most capable mum of three, like it was always just me and the kids, to now I'm like, I actually can't be with them because I can't run after them, or I can't like run and scoop them up, or, you know, it's just weird. It's like a weird new being.
We expect that the majority will follow a typical course that we might expect after people developing sepsis of bacterial origin. And we tend to say to people that we would expect you to be back to 90% of your previous self within 12 to 18 months. So it's a real long journey, and people often have to learn to live with the new them. There's a minority, though, that seem to follow this remitting, relaxing course. They get a bit better and then they have really bad days. And we don't fully understand that yet. We don't tend to see that with sepsis. Some people are developing late problems with heart function. Some people are developing late problems with blood clots on the lungs, you know, many, many weeks after they've been discharged from hospital. And that's really interesting. And that's where we need the research.
So really interesting there, that doctor talking about actually two different kinds of COVID symptoms or suffering. One where you can, did you hear what he said? You can expect to be back to 90% of normal within 12 to 18 months. Are you kidding me? And then the COVID sufferer who feels better and then suddenly they get worse again. And then they feel better and then they get worse again. And again, we just do not know enough about this illness yet. And there could be a chance, I guess, that if you came down with it, you could be out of work and home and unemployed or unable to work for 12 to 18 months. And even then, you're only back to 90% normal. That is frightening when you think about it. So I will continue to watch long COVID and see. And again, I'll give the disclaimer on all of these stories that I share with you about COVID. The illness is so new that one study may come out tomorrow that contradicts long COVID. But I think it's important that we understand what we know right now. And again, it's one of my primary goals to make sure that we take this thing seriously. That we don't pretend that it's just like the flu or some other illness and that it's okay to just go spreading it around or not wearing a mask. So long COVID is one of those things that if a lot of people start getting it, I mean, can you imagine how that could affect our society? So definitely something to watch out for there. Also, I've told you before about heart problems in COVID-19 patients. Well, this is new research that has found additional heart problems seen in COVID-19 individuals or patients who have completely recovered otherwise. This says more than three quarters of recently recovered COVID-19 patients had heart muscle problems show up during magnetic resonance imaging. These are German doctors. They reported on Monday that the heart may be in serious trouble as a part of COVID-19 disease. They said among 100 patients ages 45 to 53, so my age group, a considerable majority, 78% of the 100, had inflammation in the heart muscle and lining. 67 had recovered at home, while 33 had required hospitalization. Half of the former patients were more than 2 months out since their diagnosis at the time of the MRI. 36 patients reported ongoing shortness of breath and general exhaustion. 71 had blood markers of heart muscle damage. So again, this thing can really impact you on the long term. And then a strange story out of Australia that the pandemic, and I don't know if this is correlation, is causation, or I don't know. I'll just share with you the information and you can decide how you want to judge it. Pediatricians in Australia report a dramatic increase in severe cases of the eating disorder anorexia nervosa during the pandemic and are concerned that the same might be happening among vulnerable young people worldwide. They said people with anorexia have a pathological fear of becoming fat, and as a result, they can become severely malnourished and suffer life-threatening heart damage. At Perth Children's Hospital, the number of children with anorexia nervosa requiring hospitalization for nutritional rehabilitation since the start of the pandemic has more than doubled compared with the three previous years. Now, that's one of those things where I don't know if it's something in, you know, in the virus itself that is causing it, or it could be some type of reaction, a nervousness, a fear, a stress, of an anxiety that is driving that. So that one's hard to tell. And I'll finish up the corona coverage today with, well, another story that is probably a situation where stress is causing the problem, not the virus itself. And what is the problem that I'm talking about? People complaining about severe hair loss while suffering from COVID-19.
Is your hair falling out during the pandemic? Doctors say you're not alone. The coronavirus pandemic has brought an onslaught of stress that manifests itself in different ways. For some, it's hair loss. Dermatologists across the country have noticed upticks in appointments made by nervous individuals who report seeing clumps of hair on their pillow and even admit fear of taking a shower due to excessive amounts of hair loss as a result. This is distressing for patients, whether it's because of some significant physical or emotional stress. The nutrients and energy put into hair production and growth is shifted to other parts of your body. Dr. Sarah Hogan, a health sciences clinical instructor at the David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA, told McClatchy News. To ease some worry, Hogan shares the same advice to all her patients: hair is not necessary for survival. On an average day, Hogan will see about 5 patients with hair loss a week, but now I'm seeing 2 to 3 a day. Just yesterday I had 4 hair loss patients, she said.
So hair loss, again, that's probably a situation where it's the stress and your body fighting the illness, not necessarily the virus doing something to your body that causes your hair to fall out. But one more thing that you have to think about and worry about. And then there are, I've been debating whether or not to share these stories with you, because they are anecdotal in many ways, but the media has been sharing these stories, and they're all about people who were coronavirus deniers. They called it a scandemic, and then they go to a party or something, and they end up with the coronavirus, and they completely change their tune. And I think there's something to be learned here. I'll just share this one with you. Okay. This is a man in Texas. He called it a scandemic. He says President Trump's initial refusal to acknowledge the severity of the coronavirus outbreak left him and many Republicans refusing to take the public health advice seriously. So then what did they do? They had a huge family party get together, believing that the virus was a hoax. His name is Tony Green, and he came home from that party and immediately got sick. In fact, 12 of the people who attended that house party came down with coronavirus. Within days, the virus spread rapidly throughout their families, and Mr. Green himself, Mr. Scandemic, Mr. Pandemic Denier, was hospitalized. He wrote an essay for the Dallas Voice describing his experience. And he says, quote, "To ignore or question the to ignore or question the validity of this virus, its contagiousness, or the consequences of selfish attitude is at this stage completely stupid." That is according to Mr. Green. Went from scandemic and denier to in the hospital suffering. And thank goodness he did not lose his life. And I don't believe anyone else in his family did. But those of you who continue to believe that this is somehow some worldwide conspiracy, that every epidemiologist, every world leader, every doctor around the globe is participating in this conspiracy for some reason. What I keep hearing is it's to put in the new world order, I guess. to believe that instead of believe what's right in front of your face and what's happening in communities and nursing homes and families across the globe, to me, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I think it's dangerous. The fact that it's been downplayed by our president has cost lives. And that's one of the reasons why I have decided to share with you daily information about the coronavirus. Because I could sit here and I could attack the president every day, but all that's going to do is it's going to cause people to take sides. And they're going to instantly not believe me if I have any criticism towards the president regarding this. So I've decided I'm just going to continue to educate myself about the virus, about its effects, about how we can create change. And hopefully by focusing on that information, instead of focusing in on what our president says or doesn't say about it, unless it's an extreme situation, maybe then we can all come to the conclusion that this is something that needs to be taken very seriously. That is my hope. I hope you will join me in sharing this information with as many people as you know. This is something that is going to be going on for a long time. Even if we come out with a vaccine by the end of the year, which the president is hopeful that we can, we will be learning about the effects of this illness, and people will be suffering the long-term impact of this illness for years and years to come. So the more seriously we take it, the better off we're all going to be.